This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ezra on the evening edition. Now we're taking a look at this story. It takes place in Japan, and according to a report by Bloomberg, shoplifting has become something of a lifeline for Japan's elderly population.
Yep, actually minor crimes, I guess, shoplifting being one big thing, because essentially what it is an incredible phenomenon where Japan's elderly are intentionally committing crimes so that they can stay in the safe haven that is prison. Essentially, you know, in prison they get three warm meals a day, a place to sleep, companionship, there's plenty of people to talk to, all for free. And it's the ultimate, or it's rather becoming the ultimate safety net for the poverty stricken.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, Japan has undergone such a demographic shift, and it's so extreme that more than a quarter of its population are senior citizens, and this is reflected in the overall prison population, where nearly 20% are seniors. And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of these women are repeat offenders, so they can return to prison once they're released. And I think the government is actually responding to this by actually constructing prison wards specifically for elderly inmates and increasing nursing staff.
Yeah, I mean, the government has been responding to so many, the Japanese government responding in so many different ways to the aging population. I mean, you know, it's decades of improving life expectancy coupled with rapidly falling birth rates. So systemically, the Japanese model, if you will, has produced a really disproportionate number of elderly women. About 25% are expected to live below the poverty line, compared with men coming in at 10%. And unmarried women who won't receive enough of a pension to prevent them from living in poverty. So I think just observing how Japan has been dealing with this has been really fascinating.
It's fascinating, but it is also such a very tragic and sad reflection about where society is headed. And not just in Japan, but I think how we are all dealing with this change in demographics. Who's taking care of them? How can society take care of them better?
Yeah.
And, you know, in Japan's case, it seems to be that there is a natural movement towards going to prisons as a solution, which seems so bizarre and counterintuitive to our sense of care for our
elderly. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're tackling it, they're looking at it in a number of ways, because Japan is also at the forefront of a dementia crisis. One in five elderly to have dementia by the year 2025. They're thinking of dementia towns where, you know, the whole community signs up for training to tackle this. You know, some rural regions, you have situations where nature is actually reclaiming the land because all the young people have moved into the urban belts. There are proposals to increase immigration, you know, like the Singapore model, but those have gone nowhere in racially homogenous Japan. So, you know, I find it a little bit, well, almost ironic, because the science have been pointing in this direction for such a long time. But this is a culture that prioritizes filial piety.
Right, a nation
that takes pride in planning and attention to detail. It's almost ironic that this is where it is.
Now, weighing in on the story is Associate Professor in Geriatric Medicine at University of Malaya, Dr. Tan Mo-Pin. Dr. Tan, thank you for joining us on the evening edition. Now, this story sounds like it's a result of a combination of things. Maybe baggage from the past where women weren't allowed to work or earn an income, the lack of financial aid from families, or perhaps even social support.
Yes, definitely. It's just cultural, because in the past women had to stay at home to look after children, and as a result they have no income. And unfortunately, our society has been quite discriminatory over women, and women's welfare was overlooked in essence. So we have, now with aging, we have feminization of aging as well. So we know that women live longer than men. So this is the worst possible kind of situation, where we have women that had no income previously, lower levels of education, no savings, with no social protection. And they are actually the groups that are living longer.
Dr. Tan, the situation is incredible, and yet it feels so tragic and desperate at the same time. And just the fact that prison can actually be a reprieve, and although all the signs have pointed to this for quite some time, it's still an awful scenario. Do you think it could have been avoided in any way, shape or form?
It's what we call a super-aged society. So despite the government actually literally funding all care for older people, because they're actually quite a wealthy country, and they've actually pledged to provide all the social support, there was really no way that they can provide for such a large proportion of the population. Over 22% now are over the age of 65. So as a result, there's just not enough resources to go around. And as a result, they found that going to prison is actually a better solution, which is actually a travesty. And it's probably something that we have to learn from in our society. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the same applies in Malaysia.
Yeah.
We have a chance to actually not really go the same way and really look at other ways of ensuring that our older people don't end up in the same situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess considering we're talking about Japan, now it's a country that plans well and has great attention to detail. And if Japan is in this situation, what should other aging societies expect moving forward?
We certainly hope this is not what the future is like, because this is not universal. It's only particular to certain economies. And so there are countries who actually have we call it pro-natalist policy, to try and encourage people to have more children. So Singapore has that policy now, and so does Malaysia, so that our population doesn't have to be quite so aged. And also, universally, we're now thinking that one of the main issues is that we consider older people as a group of people to be cared for, to provide for. So what we really need to do is to try and promote the independence of our older population, such that they do not become dependent at all, if this is possible. But unfortunately, as they get older, the risk of dependency is higher. But if we can reduce the number of people who actually need care, that's number one. But mm-hmm. we can also change the model of care provision in that we call it a global village. So we want to encourage the community type of spirit where care is not necessarily all out of pocket from individual and adult children, where people work together to actually provide care for each other. Those
right.
kind of community village kind of spirit needs to happen. Because at the moment, what happens is our society actually expects the children to compensate. And that is really not the solution.
And I guess it's almost counterintuitive, isn't it, in that this dependency on the younger generation feels like it's always been encouraged, especially in societies that prioritize filial piety. So I'm just wondering what the best approach is, say, for a country like Malaysia.
Well, that's the thing. People keep looking to the politicians for solutions. They keep looking for the government for solutions. And to be honest, all governments throughout the world are now putting their hands up and saying, this is a black hole. So the minute you choose to fund social care for older people, there's no bottom, it's a bottomless pit. It just keeps increasing. And Japan is the best. I mean, nobody can accuse of the Japanese government of having no will to actually support their older people. But they're the best solution, best example that it is a bottomless pit. You can't keep providing. So when you accuse the younger generation of being not actually observing our filial piety culture, it's actually rather unfair. I mean, from the point of a geriatrician, our youngsters are, by and large, all very caring. Of course, there are a few bad apples. But sending your older person to a nursing home isn't necessarily because you don't care for them. It's just that you lack the ability to actually provide for them in the way that's expected by society. So the society expectation is the one that we need to check.
Absolutely. Dr. Tan, thank you very much for joining us on the evening edition. That was Dr. Tan Mao Pin, Associate Professor in Geriatric Medicine at the University of Malaya, giving us her thoughts on how we can approach aging societies. She was reflecting on how we were talking about this story about how elderly women in Japan are committing minor crimes in order to escape poverty and solitude and finding some sort of solace in prison. I've got some music right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.